The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. It's an important day for the tech industry on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers will be discussing two bills that are aimed at reining in the power of the country's tech giants. But big tech has been gearing up for this fight, mounting a major lobbying campaign against some of the proposals. Supporters of these regulations? Well, they've been lobbying too. On today's show, our reporter Brody Mullins will be here to discuss what exactly is up for debate, the lobbying efforts for and against it, and the chances these bills become law. That's after these headlines. AT&T and Verizon rolled out their 5G wireless service yesterday, with some caveats. The telecoms companies agreed earlier this week to postpone the rollout in certain areas near airports, after the aviation industry raised concerns that the signals could pose a risk to cockpit equipment. Our telecom reporter Drew Fitzgerald says the new wireless connection is important for the companies to improve the quality of their service.
Videos, emails, all the data that we use on our smartphones and that businesses use with wireless connections are constantly demanding more and more data every single month. And the basic two ways that these companies can keep up with all of that demand is to build more towers, which is hard, especially in cities, or add more radio waves to make room for all of that data. That's what these companies are hoping to do with this particular type of 5G service.
You can hear more from Drew on yesterday's PM edition of our sister podcast, What's News? Shares of Sony fell 5% on Wednesday, following news that Microsoft, the maker of the Xbox game console, plans to acquire the video game publisher Activision Blizzard. The $75 billion deal is a threat to Sony's PlayStation division, though some analysts have called the stock price drop overblown, because Sony's video game business only accounted for just over a quarter of the company's operating profit in the most recent half year. At the moment, Sony has an edge on Microsoft in gaming. Its PlayStation Plus service had more than 47 million subscribers as of last September, and Microsoft says its Game Pass has 25 million. In case you haven't listened to it yet, we talked about what the Activision deal could mean for Microsoft in yesterday's episode. Instagram is testing out a subscription service that'll let users in the U.S. pay for extra content from creators, like exclusive Instagram stories and Instagram Live sessions. A spokesperson for parent company Meta said the subscription fees will range from 99 cents to just under $100 a month, with options in between. Instagram's sister company Facebook started a subscription service in 2020, and rival Twitter launched one a few months ago. The platforms hope that subscriptions will help them attract influencers whose posts drive traffic. And staying on the theme of social media, YouTube is calling it quits on making original programming. YouTube Originals, which started in 2016, offered access to content created by YouTube, as well as ad-free viewing of videos uploaded by users for $12 a month. But the original programming never really caught on, and Originals failed to become a real rival for services like Netflix. YouTube said it would invest instead in live shopping programming, its Black Voices Fund, and its TikTok competitor, YouTube Shorts. All right, coming up, a Senate panel takes up legislation that would curb the power of big tech. Both supporters and detractors take out their checkbooks to influence the outcome. We'll discuss after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee is set to consider legislation aimed at reining in the power of U.S. tech giants. Two bills have gotten bipartisan support among those who say the current rules prevent smaller companies from gaining market share, stifling innovation. The American Innovation and Choice Online Act would ban the dominant internet platforms from favoring their own services, something big tech argues would lead to higher prices for consumers. While the Open App Markets Act would place restrictions on smartphone app stores, including on their in-app payment systems, which Apple says could make its devices less secure. And both sides of the issue are spending a lot of money lobbying Congress. So, where do things stand heading into today's meeting? Joining us to discuss this is our reporter, Brody Mullins. Thanks for coming on the show, Brody.
Thanks for having me.
So there are two bills here, the American Innovation and Choice Online Act and the Open App Markets Act. What are these bills trying to do? What's their goal?
Yeah, so in general, the bills are trying to prevent the big tech companies from discriminating against products or services sold by companies that they don't own. As in, they're trying to say that Amazon or Apple can't favor or offer lower prices to products that they own and sell as opposed to businesses that are selling over their networks. For example, one of the bills focuses on Apple and the Apple Store and basically says that Apple can't charge a toll or an additional fee or an excessive fee if you try to download an app from the Apple Store that Apple doesn't own. The idea is that preventing these companies from using their market power to force or incentivize people to buy products just from them.
So you mentioned Apple, and obviously these bills are focused at reducing the kind of overall power market dominance of some of the biggest tech firms. Who else might really be affected by these bills?
Well, it really could affect almost anyone in the retail economy. There are small businesses that say that their businesses are really helped by being able to sell their products on Amazon or Google or Facebook. And there are small businesses who say that they feel like they're getting ripped off. The Wall Street Journal had some stories last year saying that Amazon would design products that were very similar to products it was selling on behalf of other businesses, thus sort of shutting out the other businesses. And the question is that a violation of antitrust law? It certainly seems like an anti-competitive maneuver. So again, the idea is to sort of prevent companies from using their market power to inhibit competition among smaller players.
I mean, you say small businesses, but some of these companies are, you know, pretty well-known brands. I mean, Yelp, for example, is a supporter of this bill.
Yeah, Yelp has been one of the strongest advocates of new, stronger regulations on the big tech industry for maybe going back a decade. Yelp is an enormous company, but when you compare them to Apple or Google, you know, they're all of a sudden tiny. So yes, Yelp has been pushing very hard to put new regulations. Yelp feels like its reviews and what they do online is being stolen and compromised by Google and others. In response to that, Google would say that a lot of this information is public and that they hand it out for free. So they are offering more options to consumers and that they're not stealing anything from Yelp.
Can you tell us exactly what the big tech companies that oppose this bill are saying it would do?
Yeah, the big tech companies say that by adding new regulations into their businesses, it's going to make it more difficult and more expensive to do what they do. So Amazon says, well, you now have Amazon Prime and very quick shipping if you pay an extra fee. Well, maybe now that's going to be too expensive and we're not going to be able to do that. Google says that a lot of the searches that they have, you know, most of what you do on Google is actually, you know, free, that those might become more expensive, that the normal things that you get from the internet right now maybe slow down, or maybe there'd be fees added to them if the regulations make it more difficult for them to do business.
And what are they doing to try and get that message out?
Well, these are some of the biggest companies on the globe. They also have a ton of money at their disposal to spend on lobbyists and campaigns against the bills. Those have been going on for several years, but have really amped up this week that a lot of the pro-tech and anti-tech advocates are spending millions and millions of dollars this week on advertisements for or against the bill. It's really been an epic battle so far, and it's really going to escalate starting right now.
How hard is it to uncover these lobbying efforts? I mean, are they public? Is it easy to see what these big tech companies are doing? Or, you know, do you have to do some digging?
Congress has disclosure rules, public disclosure rules for what is considered quote-unquote lobbying, as in if you work for a company and you go to Capitol Hill and spend most of your time knocking on doors and talking to members of Congress and saying, hey, vote for this bill or vote against this bill, you have to file a report every quarter that discloses your name, who you're working for, and how much money you're making. The truth is a lot of lobbying, though, doesn't take place like that anymore. Lobbying these days is more like the advertisements that we talked about earlier, which don't need to be disclosed. Lobbying is also running ads or digital ads or Facebook ads or Twitter ads to individuals to get individual Americans or voters to side one way or the other, and then have those people then talk to their members of Congress and say, hey, you know, member of Congress, I've been hearing about this bill. Well, just so you know, I don't like it. And if you vote for it, I may vote against you. Those are called public affairs or grassroots lobbying efforts. Those are not considered, quote unquote, lobbying, and therefore they're not disclosed. So a lot of lobbying activity now takes place secretly.
Every time there's a bill that's going to affect an industry, you hear from the industry, you hear from the industry's detractors. There's a big lobbying effort. I mean, is this surprising? Is there anything different going on here?
I don't think it's surprising. We just haven't had a legislative effort and a lobbying fight this big in a long time. I mean, this is virtually every segment of the U.S. economy is being affected by these bills and the way they focus on the tech industry. I mean, our entire economy, much of our economy, almost all of our economy goes through tech these days. And therefore, it affects, you know, retailers and restaurants and the music industry and Hollywood and, you know, the media industry, everything. So sort of everyone has a stake in how these bills end up. And therefore, it's just become this epic lobbying battle, certainly the biggest of the year.
And it's only the beginning of the year. We're only getting started. You know, but over the past year or so, you know, we've had a number of bills come up in Congress that are, you know, tackling big tech, whether it's kind of addressing issues on social media or maybe on data privacy, but they haven't resulted in a lot of, you know, concrete laws coming about. Do we expect that these bills will?
You know, that is the big question in Congress, in Washington. It's always easier to block things from happening than to pass things and make law. I mean, it's part of the way Congress was set up and the House and Senate were set up and even committees were set up. So if you're ever trying to figure out if a bill is going to become law, the answer is usually no. There are tens of thousands of bills introduced and only a handful become law. In this case, that gives the advantage, obviously, to the tech companies who are opposed to it. But this also could be a starting point for those who want to regulate tech. This year, they're getting votes in some Senate committees. Last year, there was a vote in a House committee. Maybe that generates some momentum for next year, or maybe things move quickly. I mean, something that I find curious is that the House Judiciary Committee had votes on this very similar legislation last year, and so far there has not been a House floor vote on that, which may indicate that the House Democratic leadership is not really keen on moving that bill quickly. So, you know, just passing the committees is just the first step of the process. You know, then both the House and the Senate need to approve the bill. Then the bills need to be merged into one bill and approved again by the House and Senate. So it's a very long and arduous process. This is the very, very beginning.
All right, that's our reporter, Brody Mullins. Thanks so much for discussing this with us, Brody.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.